Faster than a speeding bullet.
Hello, and welcome to a special edition of the Multimedia Men Podcast Network. We're on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Player XM, FM, whatever it is. I'm Brian Kluger with Boomstick Comics and High Def Digest. And go to iTunes, go to Stitcher Radio, look up Multimedia Men, look up Boomstick Comics. You'll see all these podcasts. We do horror shows and wrestling shows and nerdy shows and music shows. And today we have a very special guest. Actually, our special guest is not so... He is very special, but he has been around since the creation of this podcast all the way back several years ago. And that is Mr. Andrew Conway. How are you?
Hey, Brian. How's it going today?
It is not so bad. That's pretty good.
I'm on the radio.
You are on the radio, sir. It's been too long, man.
I know.
We used to do a podcast, and then...
What happened, Brian?
All sorts of shit happened. Things fell apart. Things got crazy. Dogs and cats, you know, raining.
All that fun stuff.
But
for sure.
I've missed you. We always had good times doing podcasts.
It was a good time.
It was a good time. And so it's Halloween. It's almost Halloween. It's October. And
I know. It's crazy how fast this year's gone by.
It is crazy. And we've done so much. And you've been doing a whole bunch of work and shit. But for Halloween, you're usually big into Halloween. Are you doing anything this year special?
Usually am. This year, you know, a bunch of friends of mine, they normally have like a theme party every year. And this year it's Hollywood Monsters. I'm kind of phoning in my costume, unfortunately, this year. But I'm going as Igor from Young Frankenstein.
Igor or Igor?
Igor. Igor. Sure, Igor it is.
Frankenstein.
Igor. I have a hump.
You have a hump? Oh, please play Marty Feldman well.
I'm going to try my best. I can't do the googly eyes like he does, but we'll see. I know. I'll try, but...
Well, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, it will be. It should be. It's always a good time to see what everyone puts together, for sure. A lot of my friends are really competitive when it comes to costuming, so we'll see.
Sweet, sweet. And so, if you forgot what Andrew did for a living, he is a big production studio. He films a lot of cool shit. Was there anything cool this year that you got to do? Like the best thing so far this year?
Oh, I think one of my favorite things was actually going down to Fantastic Fest and getting to experience all that stuff. I mean, got to interview the cast of Halloween as well as the cast of Overlord, a great new J.J. Abrams movie coming out.
Which was awesome.
And it was just cool. That whole experience is always a good time, for sure.
Now, do you remember my really short interview with Jamie Lee Curtis and how awkward it was? Because I know you held the camera for it, I think.
Actually, Adam held the camera for you, but it was I did get to see the footage, and I saw how awkward it was. It was a little awkward, but you know, it's all a matter of perspective, I guess.
Yeah.
Some people might enjoy the interesting dynamic you guys had, for sure.
Was one of your favorite moments of Fantastic Fest sitting in the movie for Bloodline of me saying, "God damn, I hope this movie's not 3 hours long," and then the crew was sitting in front of me?
Literally, yeah, that was pretty funny. The crew was literally right in front of us, and like, actually, it's only an hour. I'm like, I bet you that's the director. And sure enough, it was.
And I put my foot in my mouth.
It could have been worse.
It was after midnight.
But, you know,
yeah,
you were tired.
Crazy.
Brian was sleepy. It had been a long week so far, and we'd been staying up pretty late watching all sorts of movies.
Oh, yeah. We stayed up till 4 or 5 in the morning. It was super fun. But we're here today to talk about a recent event in Dallas, Texas. We're talking, of course, about Dallas Fan Days, which, you know, is kind of like Comic-Con. But Dallas, this company, does 2 or 3 Comic-Cons a year. And
yeah,
this
it's
one
of their smaller ones, for sure. Yeah. So, but it's great. It was a really awesome experience, for sure.
It was. So it took place at the Irving Convention Center, which kind of looks like the Sandcrawler from Star Wars. And it took place over October 19th through the 21st. And does it compare to like Dallas Comic Con or Comic Con San Diego? Or is it kind of smaller or more accessible?
It's a little more smaller and more accessible, for sure. But, you know, this year, I guess the big thing was they actually had Bandai had the Dragon Ball Z tour come through, and it was actually part of the actual fan days. And yeah, they definitely represented, for sure.
Okay, so when you say the Dragon Ball Z tour, does that mean like the voice actors or cosplayers come through?
Well, actually, it was very impressive. Their setup, like, they literally took over the whole floor. Like, in the center of the actual Comic-Con floor, they had this ridiculous setup, like huge castle, I'm guessing, actually from the movie or from the TV show. And they just had stuff going on all around the whole thing. Like, they were selling a bunch of exclusive action figures you could only get at this tour that they were doing, as well as they had a, you know, ton of TVs on one side showing off the new video game they had, and then they also have a card game that they're trying to get people to actually come out and actually play. And so they had a bunch of demos of that, and like there were little like giveaways where you can get an exclusive, you know, Goku card. And then on top of all that, they also had a bunch of the voice actors there. And like the big thing was they had the guy that voices Vegeta, Chris Sabat.
Vegeta?
I don't know how to say that. Vegeta.
Vegeta.
Vegeta, you know, Chris Sabat there. And you know, it was crazy to see the amount of fans they had. Like, his line was definitely the longest out of all the, you know, they have a bunch of celebrities, but his line was by far like the biggest.
So I'm trying to think. So for those of you who don't know what Dragon Ball Z is, I'm trying to think of how to describe it. It's an anime show that's been around for a number of years, like decades. And what is it, like, kind of like superheroes, Japanese superheroes?
Yeah.
About like a little kid or...
And well, yeah, it's kind of hard to explain it. But like I know there's a local company, I believe it's called, is it Janimation or Funimation?
Funimation
got the rights to this, and literally there are a bunch of actual local voice actors that do most of the voices for this. And so it's crazy to see that, like, you know, when I was in college a long time ago, it was a huge thing. Like, my roommate was obsessed with it, and like I'd sit there and we watched all the Dragon Ball Z episodes.
Like, I would do that too.
It was like 300 episodes, and like I guess you know, recently they've re-released them, and they've actually got a new series out that, you know, a bunch of the millennials and younger kids are starting to enjoy. And so it's a great crossover because you have the old fans and new fans coming together to celebrate a whole new era of the Dragon Ball Z. And they were definitely out there in force. It was very impressive to see people, you know, people were dressed. It was really cool. You know,
so would you say that comic book fans and anime fans are like more hardcore and way more into it?
Oh yeah. I feel like, you know, that sort of niche is definitely growing, and you have all the, they're sort of just, the anime fans are, you know, a huge part. And you can definitely tell that, you know, that's one thing like Fandy is really good at, is they were able to get all those niche, you know, little like pockets of nerd fandom, and making sure they have something there for everybody. And it's you know, it's surprising to see how big the anime world has just...
The anime world is.
The anime world, yeah, it's definitely been... It's a growing market for sure. It
just seems like every time I've been to a comic book convention that the anime fans are just way more into it than Marvel. Oh. Or like Marvel or DC comic book fans. And I think they have... Not to say like they have more money, but I think they spend their money more so than the comic book people. That's why they have the anime con, and it's like crazy.
And I think that's one thing that like Fandays has realized too, is like if you see like the type of guests they bring in, they are starting to focus more and more like on the voice actors that do all these animes, because they know that really draws a crowd. Like, people are going to come out and see it, and I think they proved it with like Chris Sabat. It was
so how long, you know, was the line, and how much did he charge? Because I know the comic book convention thing pisses me off because they charge hundreds of dollars to get in, but then they charge hundreds of dollars for each autograph.
Well, you know, that's just the way they had to do it. But there's fans out there that are willing to pay it. Like, it's all based on like what fans are usually willing to pay. But like a lot of these, you know, the talent, the way that it's set up, they have to get a certain amount of people through because that's part of their contract, and so they sort of gauge what people are willing to spend. But I'm not sure exactly what the cost was for like Vegeta's autograph or picture or whatever. But I know
like several hundred people line to weigh in.
Easily several hundreds of people. And the cool thing is, you know, I think they had something for everybody though, because you know, the sort of market they had set up, they had toys in all price ranges. So like any fan at any level, price level, could get something that's an exclusive at Fan Days from this Dragon Ball Z tour. And it was really cool. They had some really awesome stuff. There was like stuff like for like serious collectors, where they actually they had screens sort of showing off some of the art that these guys would do. They took the action figures 3D molded action figures, and then they would, the way they would paint them, they would actually make them look like it was a 2D animated figure.
That's
and
cool.
So it was really awesome, and I got to, they showed some of the behind the scenes of them, the actual artists going in and like redoing the paint job on it to get, sort of give it that 2D effect, and it was really, really cool.
That's cool.
For sure. And, you know, then there was, they had a bunch of little giveaways. You know, if you just tag the tour on your Instagram and stuff like that, they would give you like a free necklace and a free Goku card. And this, I think, you know, they definitely did it right in that aspect with the Dragon Ball Z tour by making it accessible to anyone that at any price level.
So Dallas Fan Days did that right.
Oh, totally.
They got the Dragon Ball Z thing, and Chris Sabat is like the main guy there for that.
And then, you know, I would say also like one of the big things I noticed, you know, going to these things a lot is just the amount of people like actually doing like cosplay and doing it well has just increased like crazy, like tenfold, because, you know, it just, there's so many people taking, you know, pride in like creating their costumes, and it's like a huge thing for them, to the point where, you know, there's actual, you know, there's people that's their full-time job now. It's like they do cosplay, and they have like, you know, their booths. Cosplay starters booths there and stuff like that. And I was just very impressed with the
amount were some of the best detail. Ones you saw?
Oh, I would say that there were a few people dressed as different variations of Thor that were just great. One guy literally had created, he was pretty much the Infinity Wars Thor, and he actually had glowing orbs on his leather chest piece that he built, and he had the huge, you know, axe with the Groot handle, and it was great. And like,
oh God.
And one of the cool things too is like, you know, it's definitely like a cosplay family affair, because like he actually had his son was actually dressed as someone from Dragon Ball Z with his hair, like literally his hair, I don't know how much jelly to use, but his hair was like 4 feet tall, like into a point.
Oh my God.
And I was very impressed. And then there was a guy that I actually talked to, dressed as Doctor Strange, and he had created a metal wire piece to have his cape sort of float behind him. And so his cape wasn't really attached to him. And so it was really cool because
it looked like he was flying, or
it looked like the wind. Like, well, it looked like the cape was doing its own thing. And
oh,
so
that's badass.
I, you know, he, you know, because he always says that, you know, that he was telling everyone like the cape chose me, I didn't choose it, and so sometimes he doesn't want to, and so he's walking around with you know, the cape just floating around. But it was cool. The cosplay groups are just getting bigger and bigger. You know, the Star Wars and
the
Star
Wars first, yeah,
the 501st, and there's like four, five or six other groups within the Star Wars community that all kind of banded together, and they sort of have their huge presence. It was crazy to see them out in force, and you know, they do, you know, a bunch of charity stuff, and they had some charity exhibits going where you could take pictures with some of their cosplayers that would help some different charity stuff. So it was really cool to see all that. And then even like the, I can't remember the exact name, but the Gallifrey Doctor Who's Dallas Club. I can't remember the specific name of their club. But I think it was Gallifrey Club or something like that. But it was great to see them, because they literally have a person portray every doctor. And so they're all out there in force. And they even had someone already with the new doctor that just took over 2 weeks ago. She's there, and she was already welcomed in and part of the club. And they actually recreated a, I guess, a campaign piece that, you know, the BBC had done, where they had every doctor sort of like profiled in a row.
Oh,
they actually
cool.
did it with all their people that played their own. So I was like, that's really awesome. And got to talk to them, and it was a very, it's a very cool experience. And it's, you know, open for everyone. And that's cool how they do all that.
That
sure.
is cool. So you talked about all these good cosplayers. Was there any like terrible ones where somebody like taped a T-shirt together?
There, you know, there always, you know, there are a few people that just kind of wear like the costume you can get at Party City, and you're like, okay, at least you're trying. You know, it's you gotta start somewhere, I guess. But yeah, it was cool. It was definitely there was some, you know, stuff I've never seen before, and stuff like, you know, there's people there even with like their own, like there was a guy there that I actually worked with, my brother Adam, who had a short film, and he like had a horror creature that he created, and he was there promoting his little short film with his horror creature. And like, I was surprised how detailed this creature was. I was like, man, it's just great to see like just people like love their love for this sort of, you know, world.
It's fucking awesome. Other celebrities that were there, did you get to see Carl Urban from Star Trek or Lord of the Rings at all?
Unfortunately, I did not. I did actually run into Kevin Sorbo and Christy Swanson while I was eating dinner.
Swanson and Sorbo!
We went to one of our favorite places when we go to Irving's, the ranch, and like we were there. Sorbo and Swanson walked in with a few other people, and they were just doing their thing. And they were both at the convention doing stuff, and one of my favorite moments, I think, of the convention was I actually got to go to the Alamo and we watched a screening of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
The original movie.
And Christy Swanson did a Q&A before the movie started.
Oh, that's cool.
It was great to sort of just hear some of her stories about like what went down and sort of relive what started that whole process. Like, middle school me was like just in love because she was definitely one of my she's still very beautiful
for sure. She talk about Donald Sutherland, Ben Affleck, or Luke Perry?
She talked a lot about Luke Perry and Donald Sutherland for sure. Like, it's funny that Ben Affleck is in the movie, but he's actually not credited at all.
Yeah,
like,
and he has no lines, credits, I don't think.
Yeah, no, he has like one, I think he has one line. He like grabs a basketball from some guy and right. says like two words. But like, yeah, you know, but it was great. She had a lot of really good stories about like, you know, just being on set with Luke Perry and then Paul Rubens.
Yes. Did they talk about the awesome death scene?
Oh, yes. She said they could actually like that it was so hard to keep a straight face. And you would actually, you could see in the film, like her face, she's trying so hard not to laugh because it was just so funny because that was not, you know, it was definitely not planned. Like, they pretty much was like, hey, you know, Josh just said, go ahead and do your own thing. Like, you're dying, so do something. And so he ended up deciding to drag it out as long as he did. And it became like one of the greatest moments in the film. Like,
it is. We've talked about it before.
It's definitely like, yeah, it's brilliant. And yeah, she just some of the little stories she had was just great about like being on set and, you know, how it sort of became what it became. And she was really proud of that, and she sort of touched base on, you know, the Sarah Michelle Gellar TV show as well. And like,
did she say anything about like why she didn't take over that role on TV, or did she not want to do that?
She did not really talk about that, but who knows at the time what that was. But you know, I think, you know, she was very happy with that, and it was great because there were so many like fans there too, like that had little like tidbits that she didn't even know. Like, some girl, I guess, a while back, Whedon actually released an origin story where he sort of talked about what the film was supposed to be. It was actually supposed to be a lot darker than it was. And, you know, this fan was asking about, like, I guess in the actual origins, Donald Sutherland, instead of, you know, sort of being a martyr and saving her, actually commits suicide.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess the studio was like, oh, this is a little too dark. Let's tone it back a little bit and let's have it a little bit more fun. And, yeah, so it became what it was. And there's so many like lines people quote from it all the time, and
that's cool.
And it's crazy because how she said she came on board was, you know, Luke Perry, this was actually part of his deal. He had a 3-picture deal at the time because he was hot back then with 90210, I'm guessing, or some.
Yes.
I'm not sure what.
8 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. So he had this was part of his 3-picture deal, she said that, you know, she made a great friendship with him, and they actually still talk today on a regular basis. And
that's
so
badass.
It was always awesome, and it's been a while since I've seen that movie too. So it was like, it definitely brought me back.
Joss Whedon, man.
Oh, I know, like, you know, early Joss Whedon, great stuff, and Paul Rubens, man, like
it's so good.
You can't go wrong with Paul Rubens, and yeah.
And did you get to see Steve Urkel, Jaleel White? Because I know he was there, or the wrestling superstar Bret Hart.
Unfortunately, I didn't really, you know, there was so much going on, like, on the main floor. I actually didn't make it, I didn't even have time really to make it up to the third floor, the actual celebrity floor. I got stuck sort of on the cosplay floor, just walking around there, seeing all the cool cosplay going on, and then just on the main floor with the Dragon Ball Z and then all the artists and stuff like that. And I think one of the things that I will say, like, Fan Days does well is, like, they have a really good mixture of, you know, artists that sort of create their own work, as well as they bring in, you know, known artists as well, like that are up and coming rising stars, as well as people that have been around forever. You know, the Sam De La Rosa's there. He's sort of the Lethal Protector Venom. He was pretty much the first guy doing that. And then the actual artist that is now doing like Deadpool and Spider-Man, Scott Hepburn, was there, and he was great to talk to. Just sort of seeing his progression, just talking like how he started and got in the business. It was definitely cool to see like how he has grown into where he's like becoming a new Marvel staple. It was great. And I think one of the things that Fan Days as well too is they also have comic book people. A lot of times people go because they're looking for new comic books and stuff like that. And one of the things that I've not been happy with is like the trend of movement away from that. Like these comic cons are more about just the celebrity, but they're not thinking about the actual people that are in, that love graphic novels and comic books. And I think they did a really good job of still having, people, a bunch of comic book stores were there in force, sort of doing their thing. And I was really happy about that because the last one I'd gone to in Austin,
Wizard World.
I wasn't going to say the name.
But, oh, no, say Wizard World. You can.
They only had like two people selling comic books there, and they weren't even modern day stuff. It was just a bunch of old stuff. And
weird.
I like the fact that
probably because everybody knows that Wizard World is defunct. Nobody goes
exactly.
Money
I
there.
Think one that just I guess the pricing structure has gotten to the point where it's not affordable for these guys to even come out.
Well, but when I had my comic book store and I did Wizard World in Dallas, which was the last Wizard World in Dallas, it was like $1,200. It was like $900 for the booth, and that was, a regular booth, but then you had to pay on top of that if you wanted a credit card machine back then and internet, wireless, to charge them. So it was separate things. So it was over $1,000, so you'd hopefully make it back, but at Wizard World Austin, you wouldn't. But maybe someplace like here, you would. So during the artists and writers and all the vendors, did you pick up anything? Did you talk to anybody cool, or do you pick up any stuff, artists or something like that?
Well, there's always a few artists that I always go to that I always see what they have now because I love what they do. There's a guy named Jim Ferguson who does his whole booth is called Making a Scene. Mm-hmm. And what he does is he pretty much just draws memorable scenes from movies in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s, like stuff that he loved growing up.
Yeah.
And it kind of started out with like a buddy of his wanted him to draw like Bruce Willis like stuck in the air vent. And he's like, whatever. So he drew and his friend loved it and offered to buy it. And he bought it. And then from that, a few other people asked for different things and just expanded from that. And like now it's great. He has like four books that of just stuff, and he just draws some really awesome stuff. I've gotten a lot of the movies I loved growing up, like Neverending Story and Gremlins, and
badass.
He does some really cool scenes from some of that stuff, and I've got a lot of his stuff, and so does Adam. And then there's a guy named Logan Pack, who is really good, really good at drawing. Just characters in general, and I actually got a commission from him a while back. I got him to draw the Hodor at the death scene from Game of Thrones.
Really?
He was so excited about that because he had never done anything from Game of Thrones yet, and I had told him just go wild with it. And the cool thing is if you get a commission from an artist like that, he does something like. If he likes it enough, he'll end up wanting to sell like prints of it, but he'll do an exclusive one for you. And so the cool thing that he did for me was I had him it came out beautiful, but he wrote Hold the Door in glow-in-the-dark paint. So at nighttime, you see Hold the Door at night. And that was like an exclusive that he only did for me, but like I was like, so
that's fucking awesome.
So it was like one of a kind on my wall, and it was great. And so those are two of the guys I really like. And then some of the local comic shops, the big thing right now was Walking Dead had just released a bunch of variants for their 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge J. Scott Campbell fan, so a lot of people are. But like,
and if you don't know J. Scott Campbell, he takes most superheroes, mostly females, and makes them. They look amazing. Like they're very accentuated in certain parts. And
totally,
it's amazing. I love J. Scott.
Yeah, he started, you know, he started a little like offshoot called Cliffhanger with two other artists, Joe Maduria and Humberto Ramos, who have both gone on to like do great things as well. But, yeah. You know, J. Scott Campbell, he is known for drawing beautiful women. And well, he did a cover for a variant cover for issue 19, which is the first Michonne.
Yep.
And so, you know, and they do like the crazy thing is they do like four variants on top of just you have a regular cover, but there's so many other variants you can get. And so they had several of the variants that are just hard to find. And I picked up a few of those.
Fuck yeah. I actually saw a picture of the J. Scott Campbell Michonne one. It looks awesome.
It is great. Yeah, it's awesome. Several of the places. And then, you know, there's just other little, you know, I picked up a few other just random things. But yeah, that's pretty much. I try not to spend too much money, but it always happens. No matter what, when you go there, you're like, there's just so many great things, so many cool things to see and get. And it's just, yeah, it's.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you had a great time there. Fan Expo is coming up. This was Dallas Fan Days, which is kind of their fall show, but their big summer show, which is coming up May 3rd through 5th, that's kind of like their bigger one. I think last year they had Ben Affleck and all sorts of people there.
Yeah.
So that's coming up at Dallas Convention Center, which is like the really big one, May 3rd through 5th, 2019 Fan Expo. But Dallas Fan Days, which would just happen last weekend, sounded like they did a really good job and they really catered to like the fan, like catered to the fans, not like the masses, but like the fans for this one, right?
Yeah. And you know, they do a good job too. I would say like they tried to, I guess things happen. Like they've had Matt Smith sort of on board to appear at these festivals for like the last several years, but for some reason, you know, just his scheduling and stuff comes out and he's not able to actually come. And they did a really good job of replacing him with someone that people could enjoy. Like, so when he canceled, they ended up adding the two main stars of Riverdale, KJ Apa and Lily Reinhart, and which, you know, that show itself is just blowing up, and that definitely filled that gap for sure with the amount of people that are into that show right now. So it's really cool that Fan Days is able to sort of roll with the punches and still figure out a way to just make a good show.
That's awesome. I'm glad they did that. And it seems like they had Ray Park from Star Wars there, who was Darth Maul, who was also in Solo.
Yeah, they try to have something for everybody, pretty much, yeah.
So you recommend going to this?
Oh, it's always a good time.
A good time.
You know, there's definitely something for everybody, and it's a family show as well. And so you take your kids, you know, walk around and see all the cool people. And the great thing too is like all the people that are, you know, the dressed up. They love taking pictures and sort of showing off, and they're happy. They're happy with what they've accomplished. It was great, sort of just seeing some of the sort of precious moments. Like there were a lot of girls dressed up like as Disney princesses, and seeing like these little boys and girls just their eyes light up when they see these people dressed up in these costumes. And it's like it definitely a great experience.
That's cool. I'm glad it's like that. And yeah, we'll hopefully be covering more Comic Cons soon. But thank you, Andrew, for talking to us about Dallas Fan Days at the Irving Convention Center. If you want to go find out more, go to fanexpodallas.com. That's fanexpodallas.com, and you can see all the guests they're going to have for their May show coming up in 2019. And hopefully we'll be there. Hopefully you, me, and Adam can go as like the Three Amigos or some shit.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Dressed up. But yeah, until next time, Andrew, can they find you anywhere online if they want to reach out to you?
Not really.
Not really. No, he's like me. We're not on social media really. So, we're around, but
yeah. We're around. I think on Instagram, I'm the Big Con.
He's the Big Con. Fantastic. Thank you, Andrew. And yeah, Fan Expo Dallas and Dallas Fan Days. Look them up. Recommended.